name called Rebel Rhythm, created by the one Dubmatics.
Hello, Yendis.
Hello, hello. Let me turn on this music. Hello, Jesse, are you there? Hello, Jesse?
Yendis.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
You still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Can you hear me? We've had a little bit of trouble getting a steady connection through to Jesse. He's way over in Canada. I am here in the UK. We're both live on reggaespace.com. And finally, it looks like we've made the connection, and fingers crossed it will last. So, Jesse, hello again. I hope you're having a good day. You probably heard me playing a track earlier while we were trying to make the connection earlier.
I did, Rebel Rhythm.
That's right. I was very curious about that one because you're inviting artists to voice on it. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that over time I work with so many vocalists because I mainly do all the music and produce and arrange and all that, but I don't sing. So, you know, I thought it would be fun. I'm always trying new things because I think it's great to kind of be part of the community and work and see with, you know, who's out there, who's doing what. And so that was one of the ideas with that was okay. Just to throw it out there and see if anybody wanted to work with it.
Okay. And that was a little while ago, a few months, 6 months or so?
No, I think I only put that one up maybe about a month ago, five weeks ago.
Oh, okay. And are you getting any response? Is there any interest being expressed?
I haven't heard. You know, I've had a few people email me, say they're going to voice it. I haven't got anything back yet.
Okay.
So, you know, when they do come out, those are, you know, if anybody sends them in to me and they're good and strong enough, then I'll fire them out to all my friends in radio and say, there you go, here's a little free track and some promo, and try to help the other artists out as well.
That's great. So you're quite happy to have it available freely, and if you do get something in, you're quite happy to have that available freely. What is this? You're very generous, it seems.
You know what? It's music. And I think one of the important things, and I think especially within the reggae community, you know, reggae's, you don't do reggae because you want to make money.
True.
You do reggae because you love it. And I think being part of that, you know, I think it's great to get out there and get involved and, you know, interact and meet other artists, meet fans, kind of, you know, just be part of that community. So that's one of the things I've always been a very strong advocate of, is giving away some music and just working with people, giving away tracks for people to remix. And, you know, I've met a lot of great people that way. And I think that's, you know, that openness leads to more positivity and more, you know, quality music out there eventually.
Yeah. Well, it's a very good philosophy because, you know, there's a lot of people who are fighting the free downloads and, you know, trying to resist people getting their music for free. I guess
they're going to lose. They're going to lose every time.
It's a losing battle, if you ask me. I mean, that may have worked when everything was on vinyl, but now everything seems to be more digital. It's very difficult to close the stable doors once the horse has bolted.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you, the interesting thing that I'm reading more and more about is, of course, in the cloud, like Apple's coming out with iCloud. It's basically where you can store all your music digitally and access it from any device that you own. Once this happens, much like SoundCloud is mainly for streaming, you know, the concept of downloading and pirating it will become almost next to nothing. It won't even be a factor, because if I can access millions of songs anytime I want on anything that I have, what's the point of downloading? So I think we'll see that that reversal happen. I mean, a great example is I put out the Marley remix free because it's just promo only. It was just something fun that I did. And if you look at the stats, I mean, it's 5-1 people that streamed it versus downloaded it. So it's, I think people are okay with streaming as long as they can access that when they want to. So I don't, that's a little side note. I love technology too. So
yeah, but it's an interesting point because, you know, we're in an industry where a lot of people, you know, endeavor to make money through sales. And the idea that you don't need to own a tune, it shoots a hole in the whole concept. You know, if you just need to hear a tune, stream it and listen to it, and you don't actually own anything, you don't download anything, you don't steal anything.
Yes, it's all true, but the one problem they haven't figured out is how does the artist recoup their costs?
Right.
Because, you know, there's some service like Rhapsody's been around for years, and you can stream a song, and I think they pay you like 0.1 cent per stream. I mean, they did a thing on Spotify where Lady Gaga had, I don't know, like 1.7 million streams, and her total pay was $176. So she's basically getting a penny a stream. Wow. So this is going to have to be worked out for long, you know, for the major label artists. But for, I think for indies and small guys, it will be a great way to kind of get your music out there and not have to worry about pirating. Because even on my last album, I mean, within like 3 weeks, there ended up at one point 300,000 links to download my album free. Right. And I kind of went, you know what? I'll roll with that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, that's right. And at least there's people listening, so that I guess the kickback is when you go on tour, or if you're the kind of artist that will tour and do concerts, that's when you'll get the benefit, because they've heard your tune, like your tune, and might come to your concert.
Exactly. And, you know, it's, I think what's happening now, especially with the declining CD sales, music sales on a whole, it's reverting back to the way it was in the 50s and 60s. I mean, bands put out records to get more gigs and get more people to their gigs. And at one point, it just became very fortunate and lucrative for the labels to not only make money off the CDs and album sales, but also the gigs for the artists. So it's reverting now, and that's what it is. It's coming back to, you know, you connecting with your fans directly at shows, which is great. I think that's the way it should be, and kind of try to eliminate some of the other fluff out there that's unnecessary for a lot of independent artists.
I mean, I have maybe some controversial views about this, and because, you know, when you download or you even buy a hard copy, it is a copy, and there will be thousands, if not millions, of people with the same copy, and really it should be the price of a photocopy, you know, just the material that it's used to make it. You should pay the big price for live concerts, which are one-off and original.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with that. I think there's the interesting thing is our time of the music industry is that there's so many people making music, and now there are more and more creative ways to kind of trying to help. And, you know, most artists are not looking to get rich. I mean, of course, that's a pipe dream for some, but the reality is that most of us are just happy if we can recoup our cost to continue doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shows are definitely where you're going to see a lot more of that than CD sales, you know. And I think, so if you can get them a copy of your CD for a few dollars and get them out to show, then you've potentially got a fan for life.
That's right, that's right. Okay, that's a really good introduction. But I'm interested how you got into reggae music in the first place. You're over there in Canada, you're born there, yeah?
Yeah, I was born here. Basically, you know what? It's, we had, outside of Britain and the big exodus from Jamaica to Britain in like the late 50s and 60s, in the late 60s, a lot of the Jamaicans came to Toronto to work.
Right.
So Jackie Mutu came here at that time. And at different points, we've had, you know, a lot of great artists that have lived here. Leroy Sibbles lived here for years and years and years. And a lot of artists, I didn't even know that they lived here. I was shocked. Like Linville Thompson's lived here for periods of time. He's still got family here.
Right.
But it's because of that. My father's actually a piano player, and he came up. He played rock music, played with Janis Joplin and a lot of these bands. But when he came to Toronto after leaving the U.S., he got introduced to one of the drummers that came up here, who was friends with Jack, me too, and all these guys, and put together his own reggae band. So basically, it's something I've been around my whole life.
Oh, so your father had a band?
Yeah, he had a reggae band, you know, kind of funk reggae kind of stuff, you know, that early. So they were one of the first integrated bands, first of all, in Toronto, which was, you know, not very common. And they were also able to break out of just getting playing, like a lot of the Jamaicans were able to get up, not just playing, say, the community center, and that where they were actually getting gigs at, you know, more of the clubs, because it kind of started growing and growing. And so it's something that I've been around for a long time, and I've started playing, man, 20-something years ago I started playing reggae and playing bass and drums, and then I took a hiatus and then came back as Dubmatics maybe about 9 years ago.
Okay, okay. So you did have some experience actually playing instruments, because, well, nowadays, what would you call your instrument? You know, a singer will go on stage and say, my instrument is my voice, and the bass player will bring his guitar with him. What would you say is your instrument, if you have an instrument?
Oh, you know, my main ones, I grew up playing bass and drums. Those are my foundation ones, which is why, you know, I played drums in a reggae band, I played bass in a reggae band. One time, I was 18 years old, and I had to play in a Marley cover band with a Bayesian and a Jamaican guy, and I had to learn almost all the bass lines from Marley's records. And so that, between the drums and that, was a great foundation of kind of where I am now and the style that I like to do. But bass and drums, but I also play keyboards, guitars, you know, you name it, a little bit of everything, enough to make the music. Like most of the music that you hear outside of the obvious computer stuff is all played live. I don't use MIDI, you know, I just play it and do it, because that's how I've been, you know, I've been fortunate to have kind of a small recording studio since I was like 10 years old, so I'm used to playing entire songs all the way through, right, and try and hope to make that you don't go to the end and go, man, I made a mistake, I gotta start again.
okay, that's great. I want to play some music now, just let people know what's happening here. I'm on the Skype phone, iPhone I believe Jesse's using. We're having a bit of a conversation here. We're going to play a few of his tunes, and we're live on reggaespace.com. This first track I'm going to play is entitled Rough Little Sound with Brother Culture.
Yes.
Listen, me liar. Rock little song like this. I want a tough little song like this. I miss to play my music, cause I'm not a terrorist. A rock little song like this. There's so many people in my rock, the people in my sway. Them listen to the culture, the roots DJ. When me come a dance, I say they can't feel no way. According to me works, so I know me get paid. Want a rock little song like this. I want a tough little song like this. I saw me play my music, this way make you bubble and twist. Tell them red a punch, I me no take no risk. When me wall up on the mic, me no like no terrorist. What a rock little sound, me liar. Rock little sound, bang rang rang, wow really tough, tough, tough. We no bluff. Rock little sound, bang rang rang.
Yeah, I lost you for a few seconds there. It's okay now.
Yeah.
I just got a big up Selector Rose Breadfruit. He was concurring with your comments about the music and the money side of things through our shout box. I guess you being out in the open there, you can't see our shout box, but there's some positive responses coming in from some of our listeners and those on the website right now. So big up yourself. Yes, this track is which LP does this one come from? Your most recent one?
Yeah, this is the one, System Shakedown. That's it.
Yes. And that came out what, last year, the end of last year or so?
Yeah, I think it came out various stages, but started coming out in late last July, about a year ago now. Yeah, exactly.
And you have it available on different formats, I guess.
Yep, we have the no vinyl for this one, but we have the CD and digital.
Okay, so you don't give all your music away free. I notice on your website you can still purchase you can actually purchase all your music in one go on a digital stick, memory stick. Is that right?
Yeah, I know that's been a great one. That one does the best because I think it's a great value for people because you can get basically I think 9 full albums plus 3 free. And a bunch of singles and remixes, all for free. You know, I think I have it on sale for like $30 right now,
yeah,
Canadian.
$30 Canadian for several. I won't be able to count how many hours of music. That sounds like a really good bargain. That's available from your website itself, yes?
That's right, dubmatics.com.
Okay. This System Shakedown, quite a few of the tracks feature a voice as well as obviously your rhythm, but not all of them. How do you decide which ones that will get a voice on them and which ones you will keep as a rhythm, as an instrumental?
You know, what I do is a lot of times I just have a lot of rhythms built already. And it depends. If I'm contacting, a certain artist like the Mighty Diamonds, I'll write a track for the Mighty Diamonds that sounds like the classic Mighty Diamonds that I grew up loving and still do. So, because I want to get that authentic feel. Same with the last album with Alton Ellis, kind of say. Others, I'll just send them 3 or 4 rhythms and they can pick what they want.
Oh, I see. I guess you don't find very much difficulty of identifying people to work with now that you're famous, Juno Award winner.
That's in Canada only. It only counts here.
Okay.
But, I do most of my stuff in Europe because, being from Canada, which I love my country, obviously, but it's such a large country. And, I mean, if you drive 14 hours, you could still be in the same province.
Wow.
Whereas, with the populace and there's much more artistic and musical history and culture going on in Europe right now. I mean, maybe the Europeans might see it differently, but coming from my point and from Canada, I go over there and I'm just always amazed to see how much music, how many sound systems, bands, singers, MCs. I mean, it's incredible. So, I've been fortunate to kind of get over there. So that's where I spend the bulk of my time working now. So
okay. It
is getting easier to work with artists, but that's more so just because I've got to meet so many of them as I come over there. Whereas in Canada, you, like I said, you could drive 20 hours. You might not be anywhere else.
Right. Well, that's how I wondered, you're one of the more famous, I guess is the word I keep using, that reggae.
I'd say maybe one of the few Canadians known outside of Canada.
That's right, yes. And for a genre that really, isn't as big as many other genres across the world, much less in Canada. So, it just underlines how successful and how skilled you are.
It's very nice of you to say, but I think really what it has been is that, I mean, there's tons of great talent in Canada, and a lot of it has been for me is that I've really spent, especially when I was starting out my first record and stuff, working hard to kind of, and utilizing the internet. That was really the big one, and giving away free music. That's something that I've continued doing, but that was really, I think, one of the biggest ways to get over there. And then, the biggest for me making it to Europe was, it was one guy who set off in motion everything that I've been doing over there since. And it's a writer named Carsten Free out of Germany who writes for Rhythm Magazine and has a radio show, he's an active guy and has since started his own label. But it was him that turned me on to a sub-publisher, and the sub-publisher hooked me up with a label in Paris that put out the first one. But it took one guy.
Right.
And that's, so I think for almost anybody, it's just keeping at it. And if you find that, you know, you might, it's generally one person that could change everything that's going on. And that's really where I got fortunate on.
They do say that, you know, it's about 90% effort and 10% luck, you know, meeting the right person and, you know, that person having the right connections and so on. And it could blow up your career.
Yeah, it, you know, it really helps. And it's just, you know, guys that are just really passionate about what they do and not looking to make money and just into it, you know, and that's what I'm always thankful for. And that's the great thing I will say about the reggae community as I travel around. And I'm sure lots of the other artists that are around see the same thing, is that there's so many people supporting it that get out and they'll go poster to the town for you, or they'll get online and, you know, promote it to all their friends and just really get involved on it. And all they want to do is just be part of something like reggae, which is amazing. And, you know, I always like that about reggae, because it's always a positive thing.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the Juno Award and it being mainly in Canada. I'm curious, what would you say your career highlight would be to date?
You know, I think outside of working with some of the great artists that I've been fortunate to have worked with so far, you know, I think just being able to do music is the highlight. And, you know, every day is, and I've got a long way that I want to continue going and a lot of different artists to work with. You know, I love them all. Like, not to sound like kind of, you know, generalize everything, but I really enjoy every second of this that I do, whether it's, you know, trying to put my stuff up and giving it away or doing interviews or playing. It's just something that is a wonderful experience. And highlights, you know, for me, the biggest one is working with Alton Ellis. That was the highlight.
I can imagine.
You know,
and how was that? How did you find him?
I was actually an email, and I got in touch with his manager, and his manager put him in touch with me. I sent him two different rhythms, but the one that ended up on the album was written Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon he was voicing it. And it just really worked out, because I know he was in the studio, so it definitely wasn't his last, but I think it was one of his last ones. But he was in great shape, his voice was strong, and he ended up passing away about maybe 6 months later, doing what he loved. He just finished doing 7 concerts in Jamaica, and it was his last one where he collapsed back in London on his last one on stage, and his son took over. But what a great way to go. If you're going to go, you're doing what you love. But that's how that came together. Sorry, I make it a long story longer.
Well, let's hear the track. We'll be right back. certainly does a good job on that one, wouldn't you say? Hello, you still there?
Oh, sorry, I'm still here. I wasn't sure you were talking to me.
Well, I was just impressed by the fact that he's been making music for so many decades, and right up until the last minute, you know, he's still, you know, got that something that that moves you, you know, in his voice and his delivery. And I've never been lucky enough to meet him, but my impression is that he was a really, really sound guy, you know, and not taken away with the fame, because he was one of the founding fathers, you know, godfather of rock steady, and you know, still seemed to have his feet on the floor.
Yeah, you know, see, he was a great guy when I talked to him, when we worked together, and I think what comes across most, I love the lyrics, blessings of compassion, come on, that's awesome.
Yeah,
loved it.
So it would seem that you mentioned earlier that you have rhythms that are sort of laying about the place, and you can just pick it. You can pick out the one that you feel that will suit a particular artist. You have a feel for that. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, and a lot of times it's just simply listening to their stuff. You know, what they've done in the past or their present, kind of getting a feel for what their sound might be. But then again, sometimes you can take somebody like, you know, say Brother Culture, who's a very versatile guy, and he can toast over something like the Rocksteady track that we did, and then next time you'll hear him on a heavy, heavy dubstep track.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just, you know, it's that magic moment when something really happens and works, but you can never predict.
Okay. Because I'm just curious as to, you know, the actual process of the making of music, you know, when to decide to have an instrumental track, and when to decide to have an artist singing, and which artist, and so forth. And also making that comparison between the studio stuff and your live work, because you do quite a lot of music. Is it like a sound system, I guess? Is that right?
You know, I kind of, it's all very similar to Mad Professor, not quite him, but in the sense that, you know, I run everything off a laptop, but it's all thrown through a mixing board. So each channel separate with drums, bass, guitar, horns, vocals, you know, et cetera, that I can control, add the different effects, drop in and drop out. So when I do a show, no two shows are exactly the same.
Right.
And especially if I've got a good MC, then we might just ride into something different within that same song and ride it for 5-10 minutes if it's really heavy and the people are into it. So it really gives you a lot more flexibility than just, say, you know, pressing play on your laptop or a CD player and kind of going, there's your track for 3 minutes.
Yeah. And do you use the same crew, same team all the time, or does it depend where you are in the world, I guess?
It really depends on what I'm doing. You know, if it's Canada, and depending here, I've had up to 6 musicians with me. And if I'm on the road, sometimes it's just me. Lately, I come out with generally an MC. I've come out with 2 different ones. This time I'm doing a show, a festival in Belgium with Tip Irie, and then I'm over to the UK, and I do a night there in London with Reggae Roast Crew. So there's going to be a bunch of MCs. Then I go down to endorse it, and I'm bringing Ramon Judah down to MC with that for that. So, you know, it really depends. Each time I like trying different things.
Okay, so these people would be familiar with your work, or you sort of just pull one out of the crowd, or?
Well, no, actually, you know, yeah, no, most of them are. That's how we will get to know each other a little bit, with the exception of the guy in the UK. But Tipper and I have a track on this album, the new one. So we've met through that and done some work. So, you know, we get to know each other, especially when you're on stage. I mean, a lot of these guys are professionals, so they can get up and they know what they're going to do, and I can just do what I got to do, and we have some fun.
Yeah. I was on your Facebook page, because you talk about the live stuff, and I guess you're used to, you know, playing the tunes or, you know, creating the music and the people rocking, you know, people dancing.
You hope.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's the case in most situations. But I was watching this video on your page, and everyone was sitting in seats around tables, and you were up there.
That's the new one. That's from the it's actually from a jazz festival here, And it was really funny. And I said, I just got to put this up. It's, you know, it was a Sunday night at 8 p.m. jazz crowd. And, you know, originally supposed to be Yusuf Nador, and he's, you know, he plays reggae as well. So the show had sold out. It had, you know, all sold out. And then he backed out. He had to cancel 2 weeks before this. So all the reggae heads that would have been there didn't come.
Oh, right.
You know, some of them, you know, a lot of them, what you can't see in the videos are on the sides.
Oh.
It was actually a massive tent on the sides. All the people were dancing, and right behind, outside of the tent, there was probably about 200 people there. But the way the video is filmed, you just see the heads of the people sitting there.
That's right, yes. And I thought, how does that feel? You know, you're used to playing tunes and doing your stuff and people, you know, grooving. And there's these people sitting there and sort of... legs crossed and sitting at tables being very polite. It must have felt really strange.
You know what? All you care about, since I started playing a long time ago, if I see one person nodding their head and having a good time, that's all I need.
Yeah, that's cool.
If they start booing me, well, then that's a different story. But it hasn't happened yet. Not to say that it won't, though.
It was the music itself was great. I mean, do you get into the jazz feel very much?
No. I stick to reggae.
Yeah, there was a guy on the saxophone. He was doing a great job. Do you work with him often, or is that a one-off?
He's on every one of my albums. That's Isax. That's his name, Isax, yeah. And he's great, but he's also a jazz musician as well. But his main, I mean, he's basically the go-to guy for reggae sax in Toronto. And he's played with absolutely everybody for the last 25 years. So, but he's great because he knows everything. He knows all the licks, all this stuff. He knows how to work with me. I've been working with him for 5 years now live, and yeah. With the albums about 8.
Yeah, great. It really did sound great. But it just struck me, those people who sat there and looking very formal. But hey, I guess you gotta take this.
Hey, isn't it cool? It's cool to show both sides. Sometimes you see the crowd jumping, and then so you see the ones that are sitting down. You know, it's I think it's cool to show every side that people go, you know, as musicians, you get to play for. You never know. But, you know, at the end, they all clapped and some of them whistled. So you have a good time.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. Let's have some more music. This is, again, coming from your most recent LP. You're working on a new one, I guess. I'll ask you about that in a while. But this one is Give a Helping Hand. Can you tell me anything about that one?
Mighty Diamonds. I love them. It was an absolute pleasure to work with them. And I was in Vancouver. Well, they were in San Francisco, and they recorded there. So we were both on the road while they stopped into a studio there to do it. And great time.
Oh, yeah, yes. Give an helping hand. Tracking me down.
tracking me down for things I know not about. Only I know the trouble I feel. Oh, only I know the heartaches I've shared. Give a helping hand, oh Jah, to the children. Give a helping hand, oh Jah, to the children. Oh, what a word have I done.
Great music from the
person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Remember me tell you, say blood I go run, yeah. Me see them, me see them, me see them, me see them I go, oh Lord. Remember me tell you, say blood I go run.
I guess you must be struggling there with your battery. I don't know. How you doing?
You know what? I'm starting to get signal issues here.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't keep you very much longer. I want to give
the
opportunity to talk about your future work so that we can look out for it. What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I've got a couple new ones. First one will be coming out is actually a very cool project. It's called the Clash of the Titans System Shakedown Remixes.
Yeah.
And that one's got just a great all-star cast of a lot of the guys that I've been working with and starting to get to know a little bit. So we've got Zion Train, Vibronix, G-Corp, Mongo's Hi-Fi, Webcam Hi-Fi, Subatomic Sound System. I mean, just... there's like 19 different remixes, and each of them got to pick whatever they wanted to do.
Okay.
And so that'll be out on a double vinyl album in probably late September, as well as CD and of course digital.
Okay.
So that's the big one. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so we can look forward to that in the fall, or as you say, we say the autumn over here.
Autumn, sure, fair enough.
And what about tours? What you got planned in terms of moving around the globe and bringing your vibe?
Well, coming up soon, I'll be in Europe in about 2 weeks. I'll be there for about 3 weeks doing some shows over in the UK, France, Belgium. Then I'll be back in October for some shows. And I think Spain, back in October, France and Spain so far, and possibly Ireland. So kind of bouncing around back and forth. And then I'll probably just take off, you know, a few months to just continue the next album, which will be Dumbmatics 5.
Okay.
And that'll be kind of similar along the same lines of System Shakedown and the previous one, Renegade Rocker.
So
always stuff going on, man. Tons of stuff.
Yeah, and you're ever creating. You don't seem to run out of ideas and enthusiasm. Seems like a bottomless pit.
I wish it was, man. But you know, I've been fortunate that you know I find there's always times where I end up working on other people's projects. So that gives you a little bit of headspace to walk away from what you're doing, and then you come back and you're always a little bit more revitalized and kind of come with a fresh perspective, because if I did this every day, I'd definitely run out of ideas.
Okay. You do remixes, is that right?
I do, yeah. I was counting it, actually, because I'm just finishing up a project for another band out of the U.S., and I'm at, I think, 20 in the last 4 or 5 months, which is a lot for me. Normally, it's, you know, maybe 10 or 15 a year. It's just been really busy this lately, which is great. I love all of it. So
yeah.
But lots of cool stuff.
So where do you actually get your inspiration from? You know, what comes to you first? The actual process of making a rhythm.
A lot of times it's, you know, sometimes you'll hear a song or a sound style that trigger, you know, and I'll go, oh, I want to do something along that line. You know, might be an old album, might be something you hear at a concert or in the radio. Other times, it's a bass line. Like, for me, I can't get past anywhere in a song until the drums and the bass are right. And then everything else is stacked, because they all fall into the same kind of pattern. You know, you're going to have skanks, you're going to have organ bubbles, You're going to want horns if that's the song style. Yeah. But without the right bass line that makes sense, that you can listen to for an entire song without and still love it at the end, then you don't, that's the cutoff point. It either works or it doesn't. But once you get that right bass line, then you're onto something. And that's probably the hardest part, is getting the right bass line.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, what they call Carib pop, that doesn't really have a bass line as such? It's more, just a sort of digital creation in somebody's, let's not be derogatory, but it's moving in a new direction, taking in some R&B vibes. And what do you think of the new trends in reggae music?
Well, I'm not familiar with the exact term Carib pop, but I'll tell you what, anything that's utilizing reggae in it, I'm all for. I think it's just great, even if it's just, elements of reggae, because ultimately you're going to find people that hear that and go, I want to hear more of that. Where did that come from?
Right.
Just much like the ska invasion of the early 80s with the Beat and the Specials, a lot of those kids went back and said, where did the original come from?
Right.
And they all
then
went back and found all the classics from the 60s. So I'm always open. I think reggae is one of those genres that's always there and will always be there. And it's going to go up and down as far as popularity, but it will never go away.
Yeah.
It will never have a backlash like hip hop gets backlashed, bubblegum music gets backlashed, boy bands, girl bands, whatever, because people have enough. But reggae is one of those genres that will always be out there, and more styles of music are incorporating it now too. Like dubstep, of course, is a great offshoot. You're seeing electronica house music incorporating it, and has been over, many, many years. But I think that's its strength, is that it never gets too popular, but it always remains.
Right.
Not to say that I wouldn't want it to be just as big as pop. I mean, rock and roll and hip hop. I'd love that if that kind of infrastructure was there for the artist. But at the same time, I'm okay with it always maintaining itself and growing steadily.
Yeah, some of its appeal is the fact that it's almost an underground music. That's a bit of an attraction for some.
I think that's a good point. Absolutely, it's definitely got that advantage.
Yeah. I got a final track I want to play before you go. Inner Eden Dub. Is that one?
Yes. That'll be on the new dub album that'll be out in probably October or November.
Okay, well, let's just play that one. And you might want to think about some big ups before you go. Thank you again for spending some time with us. But let's hear this track. The one that's going to be from Dub from the Crypt.
That's right. That'll be that's the Pure Dub album.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing that. I have to say, your stuff does get quite a bit of rotation on Reggae Space from week to week. So it's really great that you spent some time with us tonight. Thanks on behalf of everyone listening and the whole of the Reggae Space crew. Is there anybody you'd like to big up before you leave?
Well, I got to big up Yendis, Dag and Yendis, man. Big up to both of you guys, and a pleasure to actually do this. And I thank you very much for having me on the show. And, of course, spending all the time to try to make sure that we got to do it. And a big, big shout out to all the Reggae Space listeners, man. And I wish I could see any comments or questions that were coming in, but hopefully I can log in sometime tomorrow and see some of it. But big up to all you guys, and big up to all the Reggae Massive out there, everybody around the world supporting it, involved in it. Keep it up. That's all I could say.
Enough respect goes out to you, Jesse Dubmatics. So we wish you a sparkling career, and I don't know, with a bit of luck we might link up when you touch down in the UK.
Hopefully so. I'll be coming back more than once, that's for sure, so I'm sure it'll happen.
Okay, well, I'll be watching your page, and maybe we can paths will cross sometime in the future.
That sounds good. Well, listen, thanks again, and big up to everybody, and have a great night there.
Yeah, enough respect.
Cheers.